This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open. That's a 30, 35, 40. Midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Shane Vereen.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up. Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. He got labeled by who else? Pow! Brandon Spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome, everybody, to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. I'm Mark Bertrand, coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios in Foxborough inside Gillette Stadium. The Patriots this afternoon took on the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game, and it is the Denver Broncos moving on to Super Bowl 48. They'll be played at the Meadowlands 2 weeks from now. Their opponent to be determined in the NFC Championship game this afternoon. The Patriots season comes to an end today in Denver. A final score of 26-16. The number one seeded Broncos beating the number two seeded Patriots in a game that the Patriots trailed the entire afternoon. Denver going up 3-0 and never again gave up the lead in this game. It was not maybe the back and forth that we had expected. It was not maybe the tight game that we expected it to be. This game went a lot differently than I expected it to go, and I'm sure that's very true for many of you as well, as this 2013 Patriots campaign comes to an end today. They will not be moving on to the Super Bowl. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Give us a call. Check in. Give us your thoughts on this game, your thoughts on this season. 855-PATS-500. You can email in as well. If you want to vent, you can do that. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Mark_Bertrand. You can send me a tweet. Let me know what your thoughts are on this game today. Very disappointing ending for the Patriots today because of that major takeaway thought of mine, which is this game should have been closer. I feel like it went a way in which I never expected it to go. And so for the Broncos to win 26-16, if you had told me going into this game that the Broncos were going to score 26 points, I would have said that's pretty manageable. I would have thought the Patriots...
Honest, I would have taken it.
Yeah, I thought that would have been something the Patriots could manage. The biggest surprise to me today, the Patriots not being able to score points, and some of that has to do with the amount of time that Peyton Manning was on the field with his offense. Time of possession in this game, Denver 35 minutes, 44 seconds. The Patriots 24-16. I expected the Patriots to be able to score in this game. That was one thing that I hadn't really spent a lot of thought on. It was going into this game thinking the Patriots were only going to be able to come away with 16 points. And in fact, the 16 points, they worked hard to earn those 16 points. They did not come easy. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I was fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
I would say a part of the good, on the whole, letting up 26 points with the weapons and everything. And as I said, going into the game, had you told me 26 points would be the total, I'd say, okay, I'll take that. I will take the 26 points. But then you look at the way the defense played today, and you pretty much get right to the bad. It really, there wasn't a ton of good to take away in this game today. There was not a lot of good, and I'm sure you're feeling down about this loss. but there wasn't a lot of good to take away. Maybe the fact that, Ryan Allen punted the ball well. I mean, you really gotta find some things in this game to really come up with some true good things that the team did. It was a very tough loss today. So let's talk about the bad and what was the worst of this game. I would say at the top of my list is Tom Brady after this one. And if you look at the numbers and you look at the stats, they look good. 24 of 38, 277. He had a touchdown, didn't turn the ball over, had a quarterback rating of 93.9. You look at the numbers and you say, that was an okay performance based on what you've seen recently from Brady and how the team has performed. The problem is he had some real issues with accuracy in this game. A couple of big ones in the first half that really hurt and really could have changed what this game looked like. Just over 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, first and 10 play, Patriots had the ball at their own 44 as they were approaching midfield, and Tom Brady had an incomplete pass deep to the left to Julian Edelman, which was a huge miss. Later on in the first half, second and 5, Patriots at their own 25, Tom Brady had a pass that was incomplete to Austin Colley, which was another huge miss. At Austin Colley play, you're looking at a touchdown if he can hit Colley in the hands on that one. Later on in the game, just based on...
I think he played pretty well today.
Who's that?
Austin Colley.
He did. Austin Colley did play well today. We're going to put him on the good list. Austin Colley is on the good list. Thank you for finding the positives. I'm just so down about all the negatives. It's hard not to look at them.
I was trying to start the re-sign Austin Colley movement on Twitter.
Good for you. Friend of the program, Austin Colley. Tom Brady, as I said, those two big misses in the first half, and then even again. I mean, this continued throughout the game because even late in the fourth quarter, you missed Vereen on a short pass. And on the same drive, he then had a terrible throw to the back of the end zone. And I think he was throwing it away. I don't understand why he'd be throwing it away. On the television broadcast, they just said it was a terrible overthrow. That was when he missed Julian Edelman in the end zone, who was open. Luckily for the Patriots, they were able to score on the next play after that. So it didn't affect the drive. The Patriots still went 80 yards on that drive and scored a touchdown. But Tom Brady was not accurate in this game today. He did not throw the ball well in this game. The Patriots offensive line, they're on the bad list today as well. They did not protect Brady to the point where he was not hurried or hit or knocked down. He was all of those things throughout the course of the game. So they are going on the bad list, including Logan Mankins, who I single out due to the sack on 4th and 2 of Brady, which he just got absolutely, he was made to look foolish on that play. So Logan Mankins gets a call out on that one for being on the bad list. I mean, talk about not seeing that coming. Patriots secondary. We'll get to Aqib Talib in the injured, but Logan Ryan, Alphonso Dennard, they didn't play well today. They did not play well. And in fact, once Aqib Talib, let's do the injured right here. Aqib Talib is your injury, second straight year in a row that he leaves an AFC championship game with an injury. Could have been the ribs, which was originally, but it looked more like a knee, which was then later changed on the injury report that it was a knee. Once he left the game, there was no stopping Demaryius Thomas. None. Even when Alphonso Dennard was close in coverage, it really was no contest. There were plays that Peyton Manning missed Demaryius Thomas, where the coverage was close and it was somewhat tight, but there would have been no defending the pass and no defending the catch. So those guys did not have a good game. Logan Ryan, I thought, really had a number of instances where he was missing tackles. He was slow to get to a play. I thought he played poorly today. There's not a lot of good to take away from it. And then you get into the decision-making of the coaching staff with, in the first half, do you consider a long field goal try or do you punt it? Patriots decided to punt and pin them back deep. But I will say it's one of those things where later on 4th and 2, you decide to go for it instead of take a field goal. And you decide to go for it, which I agree with because I'm in the mindset at that point that you want to use that drive to capitalize and try and get in the end zone. But then you take 3 points off the board and you end up in a situation late where you need the 2-point conversion. And that may not have been the case had you kicked the field goal. So you can second guess those decisions as well. But I'll say this, a very disappointing loss. The Patriots did not play well at all today. They did not play well. Another guy to put on the bad list, Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola did nothing today. He was not a factor at all.
Who?
Yeah, Danny Amendola, that guy. Oh,
he played? He dressed? I thought he was inactive.
One target today, and it was a flat-out drop over the middle of the field. Danny Amendola was invisible. Did nothing in this game today. Julian Edelman, he did have 10 catches for 15 yards. I thought Edelman played okay. Shane Vereen, 5 grabs, 59 yards on 8 targets. And Austin Colley with his 4 catches on 6 targets. Not bad, but the Patriots offense needed more. The team needed more. They did not play well, and here we are. Patriots season has come to a close. And I do want to say this. This season for the Patriots, I do not think that by losing the AFC Championship game, they have failed in any way on this season. This is a team that you should have enjoyed because it was a very enjoyable and likable team. It's always fun to win and win games, and I get that, and you want your team in the Super Bowl, and you want to see them win. But sometimes you can take some solace in the fact that this was a group that fought through injuries, fought through that adversity throughout the course of the season, found ways to come back and win. They had all kinds of fight in them. And it was a very enjoyable, fun, likable team to watch this year. And I don't think there's any shame in really being soundly beat by the Denver Broncos today. Should the Patriots have played better? Yes. But I don't think they should be embarrassed or shamed for losing the AFC Championship game on the road. I thought the expectation for this team in the playoffs should have been to win one game. They did that. And I thought they met the expectation. And whatever happened today was going to be great if they were able to win in terms of playing with house money. They came up on the short end today. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos headed on to Super Bowl 48 after a win over the Patriots today. Want to get to your calls, your emails, everything that happened in this game today. I know you got a lot to say, and we're not going to keep you on hold much longer. So webradio@patriots.com. Send me a tweet at @Mark_Bertrand, 855-PATS-500. That phone number for you. And let's talk about this game here on patriots.com. Break it down and get your thoughts on not only this game, but the season as well. Liam is in North Carolina, and Liam will lead us off on the show. Hey, Liam.
Hey, Mark. Hey, as upsetting as it is to see the Patriots lose, there's no other team I'd rather that us lose against. You know, it would have been really bad had we hosted San Diego and lost against them. At least we lost against a quality opponent in Peyton Manning, and I just hope the NFC can win the Super Bowl. I don't want to see the Manning get another ring. I want to keep Brady as that in the running for the top quarterback of all time. You know, to add to your good list, I'd say Collins. Last few games, I mean, that guy has been incredible, and I just can't wait to see what he does next year. And then going with next year, a question I've wanted to ask all season, but just waited until our season was over, is what do you think is the most important thing that we look for in the draft? I know the projections are that Belichick's going to take an offensive tackle, but I really think we need a quarterback. I don't think Mallett is the future of this team, and I really think we need a quarterback or a really good wide receiver. And, you know, I'd just like to hear your thoughts on that.
I disagree with both of those, Liam, and here's why. I actually do agree, and thank you for the call, Liam. I know you've checked in with us all year long in the post-game shows. I disagree with, number one, the quarterback, and number two, the wideout, because they've drafted wide receivers. You've seen what it takes to draft a wide receiver, develop a wide receiver, and I think that's an easy position to whiff on. So I don't like drafting wideouts high with an expectation that they're going to be able to contribute right away. The other thing is quarterback. If I am the team and you're asking me what to do, I will address the QB situation when Tom Brady is gone. I don't think you have to have the guy in waiting. Is it nice? Yes, it's a nice thing to have. Is it necessary? No. And I don't want to spend high draft picks on players that I don't think can help me while Tom Brady is still the quarterback of the Patriots. I want to maximize whatever time left Tom Brady has. And if you really want to add a wide receiver, I would prefer you do it through free agency and pick up a guy who has proven to be able to do things in the NFL. Not going to do that through the draft. Not going to draft a quarterback. Clearly, that doesn't help you with Tom Brady since he is the quarterback. I do actually like the idea of spending a high pick on an offensive lineman. I think this offensive line could use the addition of whoever it is they take up front. And I think those are solid picks. Those are picks that the Patriots have historically done pretty good at hitting on. Offensive lineman, you go up high for an offensive lineman, you usually do pretty well for yourself. It's not a sexy pick by any means, but it's an important pick. It's an important pick to be able to protect Tom Brady in a game like today. Rick is in Alabama tonight. He's up next on Patriots.com in the postgame show presented by Xbox One. Hi, Rick.
Hey, I got two things to talk about. I want to ask you a question about the T. Kalib injury.
Sure, go ahead.
How was that? Should that have been was that like a pick play? And that should that have been a flag?
I believe it should have, yes. And
I didn't get to see it. I was at work.
And Bill Belichick was very upset with it, and he was yelling at the officials that they should have been on top of that, especially considering just a few plays before on the other side, Michael Manawanui. Not Human Manawanui, as Phil Simms would say, but Michael Manawanui was called for a similar type of play, and it seems like the refs missed it on the other side. Yeah, he basically lined up Aqib Talib and took him out.
Yeah, to me, it seemed like that was a mission to take him out the game. To me, that was what it seemed like.
I don't think he was specifically targeting, going after Aqib Talib. I think his intent was. I think when Thomas is coming across the field, he's thinking he's going to make the grab, and he wants to take Talib out to prevent him from making a tackle. So I think Wes is thinking there in that situation. He's trying to block the guy. He sees him from across the field, yet the pass was in the air, and here he is blowing up Aqib Talib. So, I don't think it was specifically targeting him, but by accident, he ended up doing something good for his team because Aqib Talib was a loss.
Another thing, too, I wanted to say, I really think it's time for us to go get a real defensive coordinator, because it's like when you losing by 16 points, you should not be focused on playing the pass. Peyton Manning wanted to run next time out, and he just kept standing, like leaving the middle of the field open for them to run the ball. We already don't have Vince Wilford. They should always have their linebackers right there, not just playing the deep ball and letting them get these short passes and run the ball to run the timeout. I didn't understand that. We need a real defensive coordinator. I think it's time for us to go ahead and find somebody else.
I don't think that's the solution, Rick, to be honest with you. I don't think that's a scheme issue that you're talking about. It's basically pick your poison there. So if you want to play against the run and you want to be stout against the run, does it make it better that all of a sudden Peyton Manning torches you down the field with a long touchdown pass? Does that make it any better because the Broncos score quicker? Maybe a little bit. It gives you more time, but the end result is the same. It really is. So it's not as if because you decide to be strong against the run, that means you're going to shut down Peyton Manning. Patriots weren't able to stop the Broncos offense at all today at any point. And you have to understand the team you are playing. It's championship weekend, and you are playing the best offense in the history of the NFL. And you gave up 26 points on that day, which is not terrible. So was it a matter of the scheme? No. I don't think it's plays being drawn up that were the problem for the Patriots defense. There were guys on that side of the ball who weren't executing, and let's be honest, the matchups were bad. Alphonso Dennard on Demaryius Thomas is a terrible matchup. It's a terrible matchup for him. What can you do to get around that? What can you draw up to get yourself around that? I don't care how much safety help you give him over the top. It's not going to make a big difference. You're playing one of the best quarterbacks. You're playing a best quarterback with four major weapons on his side. Very difficult. Very difficult to defend. Gary's in New York. Hi, Gary.
I'm not even frustrated or disappointed at this point. I think we've really become the Atlanta Braves. I think that the Patriots are in a weak division. Every year we get a 1 week bye. We play a good, not a great team in the divisional playoffs, and we make it to the AFC Championship. And I think that's been masking what have been problems for the team for years. What is frustrating is The obvious holes on the team never get addressed in the offseason. Last year, after losing to the Ravens, it was obvious that we needed a big wide receiver that can go deep. We rely on the draft instead of going after somebody in free agency. We need help in the secondary. Who do we sign as a free agent? Adrian Peterson? I mean, the guy doesn't even make it to the beginning.
I think you mean Adrian Wilson, but I get what you're saying.
You know, and I blame Belichick as the GM. And on coaching, I agree with the prior caller. We need a new defensive coordinator. I was hoping that they would go back to Romeo Crennel. Unfortunately, he's going to Houston. But there were wide receivers on the Broncos today, wide open. They didn't have anybody within yards of them. That's not coverage. That's schemes. And when you can't get pressure on the quarterback, then you got to go and you have to drop more guys in into the secondary. I would have liked to have seen them go with the 3-2-6 because, quite frankly, they got absolutely no pressure on Manning. Not only did they not touch him, they didn't even have anybody close to him all game.
I think that's true, Gary. I think that observation is 100% correct. The pressure or lack thereof on Peyton Manning is something you can complain about. And I would just say that at what point in Peyton Manning's career against the Patriots have they ever been able to really generate that pressure against him? It's not really been the case at all. At any point.
To be honest, that Braves comparison has me thinking.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I mean, it's not all that off, I don't think.
Were the Braves going to the NLCS every year, though? I mean, that's where the Patriots are.
Well, they
right
had
now.
They had this string of... Remember they had that ridiculous string of division titles?
Yeah.
And it seemed like every year they were, you know, in the divisional series, in the NLCS. I think they won a World Series in there.
I think some of the concerns about, and I knew this would happen. This happens after the team loses. So everything that's possibly negative you could say is going to come out right now. But what if this team is healthy this year? We're not saying any of this stuff. We're not saying any of these things about the building of the roster. I don't think this roster was a bad roster to start the year. What does this team look like with Aaron Hernandez, with Rob Gronkowski, with Tommy Kelly, Vince Wilfork, yeah, Gerard Mayo? You're telling me that they were not in this game today with those guys?
No, I totally...
You're telling me they don't go into Denver or, excuse me, they're not at home today hosting this game?
Yeah, I totally
agree.
This is
going to drive me nuts. Now I'm just going to get pissed off.
I agree. I was out shoveling snow last night and had that thought rolling around in my head. Like, what if this team was healthy? Because I was one of the guys, Beetle, going into the season. I was pissed off.
I think already, I mean, and maybe Gary's one of these guys. Did you see the defense at the start of the year when they
exactly
were healthy?
Exactly.
Did you see where this thing was headed?
No, and if they somehow, you know, the defense carried the offense, right? The first
Did
half
you
of the
see
year.
The way Logan May, excuse me, Logan Ryan played this year?
Yeah.
Before today? He had a bad game today. He didn't play well today. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
But to say that they didn't address anything in the secondary is just not true.
But I was one of those guys, Beetle, that I was overly harsh on what they did offensively in terms of personnel decisions in the offseason. And then as the season started to form and Gronk comes back, they look completely different. And I thought, man, if this team was healthy on both sides of the ball, this could be a great, great team. But unfortunately, we're never going to have that.
Now, I don't disagree with the idea that after last season, the Patriots had a need to go out and get a big receiver for the outside.
And they got one in the draft.
I disagree with how they did it.
Yes, but they did get
one. But they did do it.
And they did try to address
it. So don't say that they didn't recognize the need and didn't see the need, because they did.
And, I mean, you could also throw Tompkins into that, too.
No, I don't, because he's an undrafted guy. He's too far down.
But he's another bigger kind of possession guy.
But don't tell me they didn't identify the need and try to address that need, because they did, and they spent high draft capital in getting that player. Now, that's not where I would go get that player. But they don't say that they didn't recognize it or they're oblivious to their needs, because that's just not true. It's not true at all. In fact, there's plenty of evidence to prove that it's not true. So, I just think it's a real crappy day to all of a sudden be saying, oh, it's because they didn't do enough in the offseason. Like, no, I don't think that's really the story here. They ran into a very, very good opponent in the Denver Broncos on the road in Denver, a tough place to play, and they couldn't match up. This was the end of the road for this team.
And as we will get to.
And I don't think there's any shame in that.
No.
And whatever.
And as we will get to when we listen to Coach Belichick,
yes,
he did put a large amount of this blame on the coaching staff, which I happen to agree with, the way they came out and tried to attack, at least offensively, in the first half.
Al is in New Jersey, and he's up next. Hi, Al.
Hey, Mark. You know, disappointment. It was a great year considering all the injuries. It was a tough game to watch.
But, it was brutal to watch, yeah.
Yeah. You give up 26 points, you should win the game. And really, you know, when you look at the game or you look at the team now, I mean, really, they have no deep receivers to throw to. It's like everyone is under 6 foot. And, you know, the failures to me are the players that are always hurt. Tlaib, second year in a row, he's hurt. Okay? He's hurt more so than not. Then we pick up a slot receiver who, guess what? Amendola. He was a bust this year because when you signed him, we know he's always hurt. That's the tag on him, and he's the one that should be giving his check to Edelman. Okay, now we have Gronk. 3 years in a row, where is Gronk? Always hurt. I know it's not their fault, but they're always hurt, and this is the problem with the team. We have one of the greatest tight ends that have ever played the game, but guess what? When we played the Giants, where was he? He was hurt. Last year, we could have gone to the Super Bowl. Where is he? He was hurt. This year, he's hurt. So what are we to assume next year? I love the Pats and all, but we need someone. We need a deep threat. And as far as Amendola, give your check to Edelman because all you did was go on the field and make like you were going to do something. And we all know you weren't going to do anything because you're always hurt.
All right, Al. You got anything else?
Thank you.
No.
No, that's it. Thank you, Mark.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call and thanks for listening. Amendola is an interesting case, Al. And I agree with you. He is always hurt. He's got injury problems, and that's not necessarily his fault. I believe he is a tough player for this reason. I think he still is hurt. I think he's been playing through injury. But I also think he could be giving you a lot more than what he gave you today. I understand that he's not going to be the guy that you signed and thought you would have as a fully healthy Danny Amendola. The fully healthy Danny Amendola is a pretty good wide receiver. But I think Danny Amendola might be around 80% right now. You're telling me that Danny Amendola at 80% is no catches today on one target, and it's the one target is a drop? I would like to think that he's better than what he showed today. And he gave them nothing in this game. He gave them nothing at all. And I had been saying in recent weeks, you know what? I really appreciate this that this guy is playing through the groin injury that started all the way back in week one at Buffalo. I appreciate that about him, but I still think he could give them a little bit more. He went in the opposite direction today.
Yeah, I've been saying it all year, and Andy and Paul on the PFW guys have been hammering me for, you know, banging on a guy who has quote-unquote two torn groins.
No, that's okay. I mean, listen, you can say...
If you're injured... I don't care about if you still have to be productive when you're out there. If you're not productive, then get off the field.
You got to do something better
and
than what you did today.
Told
man.
Me in July that brutal. Freaking Austin Collie off the street has more of an impact in the AFC Championship game than a guy you invested that many years and that much capital and didn't sign your best receiver to get. I mean, that's a bad personnel decision in my book.
Some emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com. DK writes, defense at least gave them a chance. 2 years in a row, a beatdown for the offense in the AFC Championship game. Daniel writes in, another season solidifying terrible draft position. I blame Marquise Cole for this one. Kidding. But still, I doubt he comes back next year. I hope we keep Tlaib. Bill Berry writes in, goodbye, Mark the Sailor. Since this is the last show, I've got to ask, is it Beetle as in the bug or Volkswagen or Beetle like McCartney and Lennon? Neither. Neither one of those, actually. We'll keep you guessing on that one, Bill. When Mankins has his next contract negotiation, I know what play should be running in the monitor over Belichick's shoulder. Yep, I think it would be that 4th-and-2 sack that Brady took. Was anyone else really surprised by that? I know I was. I know some people have brought up, you know, the Super Bowls against the Giants and how in big games he doesn't perform like he does in some others. The Giants are a different animal. That Giants defensive front is very good, at least in the games that they were playing against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Today, the guys up front, is that Knighton? It was Knighton that had the sack there, right? I don't know that he should have got beaten on that play. That was bad. It looked bad, too. Chad writes in, Chad from Georgia, no pass rush, no deep threat, poor pass blocking. Talib would not have made a difference, but Gronk would have. Hernandez would have. Randy Moss would have. Wait, hold on. Timeout.
Yeah.
Timeout.
I was with him until that.
Hold on. Randy Moss would have? What, in 2007? What are we talking about here? You just took a knife to a sword fight. Not surprised, though. Peyton could not have done what Brady did all season. Maybe we'll draft better this year. Mad Chad from Douglasville, Georgia. Brendan writes in, the Patriots had a chance until I'm assuming Brady chose to run with Marine on the two-point conversion. I mean, you just torched the defense passing on the last two drives. You haven't done much running the ball the entire game. All said and done, Patriots should have won this game. They should have started passing from the beginning of the second quarter on.
No, that I'm with. They should have opened the game up earlier and started, you know, they should have realized we're not moving the ball. We need to try something different. And the number one thing I harped on all week and got my head handed to me was, what did San Diego do to move the ball? What did they do?
They threw the football.
Yeah, they went no huddle. They opened it up, and Keenan Allen had a heyday when Harris went out of the game.
Right.
That was the that should have been the game plan coming straight out. Like, okay, I get it. You want to run blunt. You want to keep the possessions down. You want Manning off the field. I understand. But the bottom line is you need to score points to keep up with this offense. It's the best offense, Mark, in the history of the National Football League points-wise, okay? They just shattered your record from 2007. You got to score, and you have to come out and keep up with them early. You can't go down double digits in this game, is what I said all week. And in order to do that, you had to come out, spread the ball. I said it was going to be a big Vereen game, more Vereen than Blunt. And they just were too stubborn to do that for the better part of the first half, and then still – confoundingly, they come out, they get one possession in the third quarter, and it's like, all right, we're going to take our time, we're going to run the ball a little bit. And remember that Jets drive, 2010, the five-minute drive to nowhere? That's what that drive in the third quarter made me feel like. 5.5 minutes off the clock, 0 points.
Was it as bad as the drive to nowhere? I don't think it was.
No, but it reminded me of it.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
One possession in the third quarter.
Michael wants to know, where was Blunt today? Even for the two-point conversion, no Blunt to dive it in?
Dude, he got stuffed the whole game.
Yeah.
The first half, he got stuffed.
I know. Well, let me read the rest of the email before we comment, Kevin.
Sorry, geez.
You're very worked up here.
I'm not worked up. It just drives me nuts.
Play calling was suspect. Thanks. Go Pats next year and shore up that secondary. Pats fan, Michael from Montreal, Canada. Yeah, Blunt didn't do anything when he's in the game today. And in fact...
And you and me are huge Blunt supporters.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know that you find anybody who's a bigger fan than us. Listen, I've talked about the different running styles of Blunt and Vereen and Ridley. With Vereen and Ridley, you get out of the backfield faster. With Blunt, he has more patience and looks for the open hole. In the situation they were in, going for the two, I understand you want to put the big guy in there and kind of run them over. First of all, when you put him into the game, you're basically telling the Broncos exactly what you're doing. Number one, which is why you don't do it there. And number two, Shane Vereen got out of the backfield quick, and the Broncos still managed to make a play there. If LeGarrette Blount is running that same play, same result. No different.
Or he might have even not got as close to the goal line
no
as
difference.
Vereen did.
No difference than what happened on that play. Wouldn't have changed anything on the play.
I just disagree with running it in general. I thought they should have given Tom some options on that play. But I think, Beadle, I don't know how you feel about it. The game was over. The game, I mean, it would have taken a miracle for them to even have a chance to tie the game, even if they convert that play.
Jeff in Alberta writes in, I already see Patriots fans on the PFW Facebook page ripping Bill's offseason last year. Bill did with this team this year what no other coach could have pulled off. Let's hope for a good offseason and a little more luck in the injury department next year, and there's no reason we won't be in Arizona next February. Neither of these defenses should have any problem handling Peyton in New Jersey in 2 weeks. Let's go, Pats. 2014 season starts now. Well, I don't know that there's much you can do today to fix things for next season, but this team, I'm sorry. You know, I hear the Atlanta Braves and the comparisons, and I don't know that I agree with that. Because I feel if this team was healthy, they're not the Atlanta Braves. They're playing in New Jersey in 2 weeks. And in fact, I feel like next season they're primed again to be in this same position. Maybe they'll be even better than they were this year when they were healthy. So, I don't know. I don't know that I buy into this whole Atlanta Braves talk. that you can get to the playoffs and you keep winning your division, but you don't win it all.
But it makes you think, though. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I agree with it 100%.
They're only 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. They've played in the last three AFC championship games. That's not like a win your division and lose in the first round every year. That's not what they are. But getting back to the Super Bowl, there should be even more emphasis on it, because now you don't know how many more chances you get with the quarterback that you have. So it's disappointing in that fact, but I'm telling you, I don't feel like this was a major blown opportunity based on the things this team has already overcome. So I might feel a little bit better about this than most people do. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Raymond is in South Carolina. He's up next on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Doing well.
I don't know. All the adversities that this team has faced this year, I mean, I don't know what everybody expected. I mean, every game I expect them to win, and every year I expect them to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, just listen to your all's conversations from the beginning of this show. I mean, the offense, it just seemed like they were still from the get-go. I mean, Edelman at times and Vereen seemed like they were on it, but then at times, you know, Brady just, he missed a lot of passes, and it seemed like he just didn't have a lot of time to throw the ball. The defense, I don't know, they played a 4-2-5. They got beat up by Manning. I mean, you're talking about from Denard, Arrington, and Ryan. As soon as Tlaib went down, they got smoked a lot on numerous occasions. And, you know, the defense, I don't know, the defense didn't look as they looked in the past, but also Denver's had some numerous weapons that they didn't have in the past also. It wasn't Brady's finest hour today. I mean, numerous missed passes to Edelman and Collins. But what I'm looking into is next year, because it's a great building season for the young rookies on the team this year, and I think they're going to be stronger than ever next year. But looking into the future, what are we looking at with Blount, Tlaib? Because, I mean, he's great when he's there, but it seems like he has more health problems throughout the season than anybody on the team. And can the team continue to go in this direction with him?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the price on him went down, Raymond. I think that part has been established. He's now a guy that has injuries at key points in the season, and he's a guy who's been dealing with a hip problem. This one appears to be knee, but a hip problem that didn't go away this year. That was something he still missed games for, something that he was still dealing with. And I think Aqib Talib will be back because of those factors, because I don't think he's a very attractive. He's not as attractive as a free agent as he would be if he was healthy, and I think there's a decent chance he makes a return.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it was a great building season for the team, especially for the young guys on the team. I mean, if you're not excited, Patriots Nation ain't excited about the team next year, then they're not real members of Patriots Nation. And again, I appreciate everything that you all do and PFW crew does. I mean, you all keep us informed, and I love you guys. So, I mean, I just appreciate everything you all do throughout the football season.
Well, Raymond, thank you very much, and thanks for calling in.
Yep.
All right, take care. 855-PATS-500. Jeff in Vegas told us before the game that he was backing up the Brinks truck for this game today. Taking Pats, money line, expecting them to win big, maybe even a blowout. Jeff, I am very sorry.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I just watched a preseason game. It's unusual that you really don't contest the game at all and just essentially have the clock run out on you for 60 minutes.
Yeah, in terms of the game itself, and I was mentioning this during the game as I watched with Andy and Paul, not so much the fact that it was a bad game for the Patriots, which we know, but this was a pretty awful game to watch. If you were in a neutral market and you didn't have a team to root for in this thing, you didn't have a dog in the fight, this was not a very good game.
Yeah, and did Brady warm up before the game?
I'm not sure.
Seemed like the altitude or the ball is really sailing on him.
Yeah, he definitely had issues throwing the football today, and I'm not sure if maybe that is part of it. Maybe it's the thin air. I really don't know, but it was noticeable.
And it's emphasized, too, when you only have like two or three plays to even have to try and make. And what's the Slater? I mean, that third and two deep ball to Slater cut off a position. And why is it on like third and fourth and short, like fourth and two? it's not like they have a play close to being open. I mean, it's like a sack against Carolina, those third and two play action, fourth and two passing plays. The player has no chance.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And you know what I think part of that is? I think the Patriots have gotten very much used to having those downs be passing situations, Jeff. And those are the situations that I am a believer in Wes Welker for. And I don't want to turn this into a they miss Wes Welker, but I think they've gotten into a rhythm and into a habit of throwing on those downs, which has been very successful for them in years past. It was not as successful for them this year in third and short situations. You know, obviously, it's not just Welker. It's Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski not being on the field as well.
But, Mark, usually you're in an NFL playoff game. Usually you have your opportunities, no matter how much of a talent differential there is. I mean, look at what Cleveland did to us. Look at Miami. I mean, usually in these games, you get a shot or two. It's like we had no opportunities when you can't make a single play, not one, on defense to get any sort of a stop, although early in the game they got some stops. It's really the opposite of complementary football is what it is. Offense and defense not complementing each other at all.
Yeah, I completely hear you, and I agree.
All right, guys, it's going to be a long off season, man. I got better work overtime trying to fill the coffers back up. Lock it in.
All right, Jeff. Later. Thanks as always. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. Coming up, we'll hear from Bill Belichick, what he had to say at the podium in Denver. We'll hear from Tom Brady as well. The Denver Broncos are headed to the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now. Their opponent being played out right now as we speak, and San Francisco already has a lead, 3-0 over the Seahawks. But we'll talk more about this game and the future and this game and the year for the Patriots that's coming up next.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons, so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Stay tuned for more analysis and reaction from tonight's game. Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. I'm Mark Bertrand, and you hear the whistling, which means Andy's here.
You know what that's like? That's like, you know, in wrestling where like you hear the music before you see the guy run out the curtain to like interfere in a match. That's what that was right there.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Not only that, but the Undertaker. See, Beetle, that's what happens when you don't put your mic on. That's what happens.
That's what it sounds like.
I'm
working properly.
Yeah, Andy and I waited upstairs to watch some of the post-game stuff with Coach Belichick and Tom Brady, and we figured we'd come down because I can't imagine this has been too much of a happy experience so far.
Well, I think people are feeling rather down. People are feeling very down about this, and they're blaming various things. But I'll tell you, we've heard a lot about the Patriots didn't do enough in building this roster. We've heard multiple people call for the firing of Matt Patricia.
Why?
Wow.
I admit, the defense sucked today.
This is what happened.
It did, but they
had a 7-and-out punt and never stopped them the rest of the day. But we're now blaming Matt Patricia. I'm sorry. You either praise or blame Bill Belichick. That he is the defensive coordinator. He is the guy that you see on the sideline with his back to the field, yelling at the defense throughout the game. And he is the guy that, but the bigger issue here is we're really going to start talking about personnel. Really?
That's how I feel, Andy. I agree with you. I don't think this is when you're going to start bringing that up.
No, and the offensive personnel in particular, and we've been talking about it all year long. And I know that's been a very popular lament. I'm sorry, but you didn't know that Gronkowski was going to be unavailable for as much time as he has been. You didn't know that Aaron Hernandez was going to jail for the rest of his life. You didn't know that Danny Amendola was going to be, you know, sort of a shell of himself. Now, you could argue on the last one that, well, that's what he is, and he's been a guy that has been injury prone and whatnot, but this offense entered, say, June with enough weapons.
And
it didn't hit the season with enough weapons. But I find it very hard to beat up on the construction of the team.
And let's have a little consistency. All I heard last week was this was the number three offense in football. They scored third in points. Blah, blah, blah. Well, how you can't have it both ways. They ran into a brick wall today. They ran into a better team. They fizzled out. The weather wasn't on their side. We saw that. We saw Manning throw the ball like nothing he was able to do in the game here. Right. Those were all factors. But to just flat out say, you know, they didn't do enough personnel-wise, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you saying that before the game.
Yeah, and the other part of it defensively is, and Andy's right, the defense struggled today. I'm not making excuses.
They also lost their best player.
I'm not trying to be a big-time homer. The Talib injury was enormous.
We were talking
said
about
that many times.
The trickle-down effect of you can't cover everybody with Talib on the field. Now you remove Talib and bounce everybody up, you know, a
role.
And
that's what I was going to get to is I don't think that Talib was playing. I don't think Talib had very tight coverage on Demaryius Thomas before he got hurt. Obviously,
first play of the game, I thought he could have hit him for a touchdown.
Yeah, obviously he
gets
hurt.
A rub route,
and that hurts everybody. And the four matchups that we talked about a lot going in, you know, with Demaryius Thomas on Talib, and Decker on Dennard, and Julius Thomas on Jamie Collins, and Welker on Arrington. We talked about all of them, and I think on the show during the course of the week, we were all sort of in agreement. I don't really like any of those matchups for the Patriots.
You guys came in. There were bad matchups in this game today.
And we all sort of just and I was guilty of it. I'm not trying to say
we
just
overlooked
the fans.
It.
I said, yeah, they're going to win those matchups, but Manning's going to make a mistake or two. And I thought that's what it would take. And listen, sometimes you just got to say, give the other guy credit. He didn't make mistakes.
Beat.
He only threw three or four bad passes all day today.
He got beat.
He gave a couple of chances. He gave one on a sideline route in the first half that looked like it was in the air forever, and maybe Arrington had his back and looked, you know, he might have been able to make a play on that. There were very few other chances. Manning was just on today, and I thought he really let it rip over the middle on some deep crossing routes. He was sharp, and he was sharp really all game long.
And a lot of the things that have been mentioned have been related to the secondary, and I would just say that Logan Ryan had a really good year at the end here. You look at the year for Logan Ryan, that's a pretty good year for him.
Not
right?
A good day today, but I agree with you.
But he had a bad game today.
Both he and Dennard, I thought, sucked today.
And it happens. Well, I think with Dennard,
as did Jones and Ninkovich.
I agree with you that
well,
Dennard
that was
had,
your big point going in, and they didn't get anywhere.
You don't
near
kill the head. Well, the head survives, and all the little tentacles survive too.
Yeah, Dennard had a bad day, but honestly, the matchup, Paul, once he has to match up with Demaryius Thomas, he loses. I just don't think he's going to win that one very often.
You talking about Talib?
No, I'm talking about Dennard when he later
on
in the game.
Oh, God, no, that was a mismatch.
Well,
but
that's, you bump everybody up a roll.
But they all talk about a mismatch there. There's no way he's going to win that
matchup. It was
the
first drive or two that Talib was still out there. It was kind of scary how similar it was to last year. It was only a couple of drives. But the difference between this year and last year it was 2 3-and-outs with
yes.
Talib. This year.
They had a 7-and-out.
This year, they moved the ball. I mean, like Andy said, the very first play of the game, Demaryius Thomas was available, and Manning just didn't see him. There was another play that on the play that Talib got hurt, he was beaten badly on that crossing route. Hit Demaryius Thomas right in the chest. Now the contact happened and that made him even more open, but had there been no contact and Demaryius Thomas
he's
caught that ball
him.
He'd still be chasing him. That was not good coverage. I think that we just those matchups were not good ones for the Patriots if you couldn't do what Andy talked about all week long, and that was get to Manning. And they never even came close.
What was the final? One touch?
I think the only time he got hurried was when Chandler Jones reached out and grabbed him as he overshot.
May have saved a touchdown.
Overshot Decker for a touchdown. Yeah.
Other than that, they had nothing. And, you know, you just go down the line. Everything. Literally. I didn't think Brady played well. I thought he obviously overthrew Edelman. He talked about that early.
Yeah, you needed a shootout.
He missed Colley late. You know, plays he could have made. The line. Well, you have a big fourth down play, and your Pro Bowl left guard gives up a sack that may have ended the game. You look at your receivers. I didn't think they played overly well. You look at your running backs. You know, early on, you had like 6 carries for 11 yards or something. You couldn't establish the run early. You had, you know, no gains and 1 yard runs for this offense that had been churning out 600 plus yards over the last 3 games. Defensively, you got no pass rush. You couldn't really shut down the running game. They still ran for over 100 yards, and the coverage couldn't get the job. I mean, literally, you lost in every matchup, offense, defense, category, anything.
Yeah.
You lost.
And
I think that's why Bill kept saying, you know, I'm proud of this team, proud to be their coach. They got beat. They just got beat. It happens. Sometimes you're not the better team, and they weren't the better team today.
And I really don't think, as I said right off the top, I don't find a lot of shame in this loss for the Patriots.
No.
They got beat by what was a better team.
They probably shouldn't have been here. They probably overachieved the season. These personnel questions.
I won't go that far, but I think that
these personnel questions, had you legitimately been considering them in the middle of the year, Well, okay. If that's truly the way you feel, then they overachieved. They went further than they should have. They shouldn't have gone that far with Julian Edelman as their number one receiver and with LeGarrette Blount having to carry the offense for the final 3 to 4 games of their season. So I think you can argue maybe they did overachieve, but it was a good season. And I know Eric Scalavino, you know, Mr. Life of the Party, if he ever attends a party.
Why doesn't he go to the parties?
He thinks the season's a failure and, you know, you win the Super Bowl, otherwise it's a failure. The season was not a failure. They went to the AFC title game. They tried. And as Paul says, they got blown out as much as a Patriots team really ever gets blown out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament.
This is how they get blown out.
It's a testament to the Patriots. When you get blown out, you lose by 10.
You still make them kick a field goal here or there. You still hang on to give yourself a chance.
And, I mean, in my, logically, I look at it, I say, I don't know how it was only a 10-point game, but give the Patriots credit.
It felt like, man, a lot more, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, look at the stats, Beadle. I mean, it was like 507 total yards to 2 and change. It wasn't
60-40 time of
possession.
It
wasn't a close game. But the Patriots, man, they just have stones, and they hang around, and they hang around, and you guys were sort of, you know, teasing me during the game. I kept, you know, the door is remaining open here. It was slight. I didn't really think the Patriots were ever really in it in the fourth quarter, but the scoreboard said that if something funny happens and Denver doesn't execute or makes a mistake, even worse for them, this game is still hanging in the balance. And I think that's a testament to just how mentally tough and resilient the Patriots were in 2013.
And they were chances.
They had no business being in that game today.
I mean,
as long
Manning,
as they were.
You know, if Dennard gets his head around a little bit quicker on that throw to somebody, Thomas, maybe.
The ball that hit Demaryius Thomas in the knee. Yeah, I mean, but you think
all of a sudden you steal one of those and you go, well, it seems like this game's been an ass kicking, but they're in it.
Think about some of the plays Denver made in the fourth quarter. I mean, they have a 37-yard play to Julius Thomas down the sideline. They had a 28-yarder, I think, to Jacob Tammy on the last drive. They kicked a 54-yard field goal. That's not a gimme. That's not automatic. If they miss that field goal and suddenly the Patriots get the ball 3 points closer, that much closer to the, you know, the field position instead of the 20, you're taking over at the 40. I mean, the Patriots gave themselves an opportunity to make a miracle comeback. Give Denver credit for not allowing it to happen.
I actually kind of like the fact that you can't say X, Y, or Z lost the game. The New England Patriots lost the game.
Team effort.
And I literally pick somebody out and effort. Say, and I kind of like that. You know, Will could drop that ball. We would win 2 balls. Like, I don't want to rip one guy, they all sucked. They all didn't perform today at the level you need to perform if you expect to go to a Super Bowl.
And I got that impression from Belichick.
Right, even him. You know,
usually he's so dour, and I know he was disappointed, but I almost thought there was a resignation in his voice today. Like, listen, they played great. Give the credit. He has said it 6 times. Give the credit to Denver. They played really well, and Brady did too. But I agree with Andy. It seems like every one of these playoff games, I make a joke all the time, Beadle. They always point to one thing. We as Patriots fans, we don't lose well. And me included, I'll be at the top of the list. I don't lose well.
If his brother hadn't pulled him off, that guy, he'd still be
right. That's a fact, not opinion. As fellow
Paul fights after games sometimes.
That guy who's had to take out a second mortgage to go to the Super Bowl from his trailer park in Wisconsin. Anyway, I digress. I don't lose well. I don't
he
lose.
He threatened
well.
To kill a guy after they lost. To
I didn't
the
threaten to kill him. I said I would still be fighting him if my brother didn't pull me away from
him. You'd kill him.
I got in an argument with him.
With Felger?
No.
Oh, some guy.
Yeah.
All even I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Gotcha. Now I get the story. Sorry about that. I'm interested in that story though. Some guy from a trailer park.
Yeah, I was just leaving. Well, I don't know if it was from a trailer park.
I just wanted to prove Paul's a bad loser.
I'm not a good loser. That was the point. The moral of the story
show
is I'm
a
not
good
a good loser,
and I'll show you a loser. Yeah.
But I think we always point to, like Andy said, we always point to a play or a call or something that happened. Welker dropping the ball, and then you're always undefeated. You would have won the game if not for that, and then you would have won the next game.
Right.
Because the Patriots are undefeated in games they didn't play in. Like, they would have won. They would have beaten Chicago in the Super Bowl had they not blown the lead. I agree with it, too, but you can't.
There's very few of those that I do. That's one of them. They would have beaten Chicago.
But it's everyone. Like, Denver, the last time they lost in Denver in the playoffs, they got killed in the game. Ugh, referees costing the game. You know that, right?
Denver sucks. To go to Denver is just bad. Anytime the Patriots go to Denver, it's not. I mean, this is just more proof of that. Denver's a bad place to go and play a football game if you're the New England Patriots. Bad place.
Yep.
Well, that's one
history
of the
history has not been kind to the New England
Patriots.
It's
one of the few places that Tom Brady, by the way, has not had any success.
Well, mentioning Tom Brady, he's your best player, and he's a part of the team effort of not playing well today. What do you think it was with him today? I mean, is it realistic to maybe think that the air in Denver is why he had trouble throwing the football today? Is that legit?
No, that sounds like an excuse to me.
I mean, it sounds like an
excuse say that?
To me. Yeah, someone brought that up.
I mean, he overthrew. I mean, I guess you could say light air, the ball traveled further and whatever.
I don't know. I've never been to Denver, so I don't know what it's like.
But
I never noticed it to have.
It's an excuse. That's why you warm up. That's why Stephen Gostkowski kicks kicks. That's why, you know what I mean? Like, it's an excuse. Okay. It's plausible. You could sell me on it, I guess. I'd like to think Tom Brady wouldn't take that excuse. I'd like to say I just missed the throws.
I've never heard or noticed that being an issue on passes. I know the kicks tend to, the kickers, both punters and kickers, get a boost.
Like, yeah. I thought the worst like throw of the game was the Edelman non-touchdown right before the Edelman touchdown. Like, there was no reason. That's a line drive throw. You're not, like, lofting it and it goes to, you know, say.
Yep.
That was, to me, I just stunning.
I also would point to the two chances for big plays in the first half that Tom actually talked about in the postgame.
No, but those are deep balls.
Yeah.
That you could sell me on, okay, the air, the something, but a throw over the middle where you're just throwing a line drive and you somehow just.
I hear you. I hear you. But to me, this game was going into the game. If you weren't going to force any turnovers from Denver, it was shaping up as a shootout type of game. And you had opportunities to get involved in a shootout if you were Brady. And I think you failed to make some of them.
I know that I, going into this game, did not give the Denver defense enough credit. I don't think I did. I know the Patriots.
Did the Denver defense deserve the credit, or was Brady slightly off?
A little bit of both. Little bit of both.
And did you not have the weapons? I mean, we talked about
it. No, I think those are true. I think Brady was bad. They didn't have the weapons.
We talked about first throw to Edelman, second throw to Colley, third throw to Mulligan, fourth throw to Slater. Huh. That's not good.
Well, I also think they outsmarted themselves again, as they sometimes can lose their way. There was no reason to throw a bomb to Slater. And with all due respect to Charlotta, who predicted it. By the way, kudos to you, Charlotta.
Nice job.
That's exactly what happened. They haven't done that all year long, and they did it today.
And they lost.
But did they have to do that? They couldn't have run Dobson on that route? They couldn't have run Dobson on that route?
No, I don't think they could have.
Early in the game? They threw to him later.
I think he's got nothing.
Well, they threw to him later in the game.
He had no speed. As you said, he couldn't blow by Champ Bailey, and you could blow by Champ Bailey.
Well, Champ Bailey has been beaten deep a lot.
I think Dobson had nothing. I don't think he was necessarily healthy. I think he played today.
I agree with that, but I don't agree. I don't agree with having
in 2 weeks after the season.
Because I'll tell you something else. If somehow Dobson was in the same position, I think he may have been able to make a play on that ball.
Yeah, but he would have been 5 yards short.
Because Slater went up to try to high point that ball, and I thought he got two hands on it, and then the ball got knocked away. I think a polished receiver might have made a catch on that play.
What would Dobson have?
Oh.
Sorry, that was a cheap shot.
Yeah, save that for Tuesday.
Yeah. Now, third quarter, this is something that we were watching the game. We talked about as it happened. Fourth and two play. It actually officially comes up on the play chart as fourth and three.
Ball was respotted.
Patriots decide to go for it there, and that's the sack by Knighton getting the sack.
Bitch slapped Logan Mankins.
Definitely.
I would have kicked the field goal on that.
Yeah, how do you feel about that decision? Paul did say it live. I agree with the decision to go for it there.
But as Kevin Collins, it was 20-3.
It was 20-3.
It would have made it a 14-point game. Two scores.
As Kevin Collins said to me as I walked in, he said, "You know, if they kick the field goal there, you need 17 points. So you need two touchdowns and a field goal, and that's probably more likely to get than you would to have two touchdowns and two-point conversions."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Andy correctly points out that things change. But if things unfolded the way they did, and it's 26-20 at the end of the game, and the Broncos are up by six instead of four, because don't forget, if you kick the field goal, you're kicking the extra point, right?
Yep.
You're not going for two if you're down 14. You're going for one.
Yep.
So, you know, the Broncos got the field goal, so it would have been 26-20. It's a little harder to execute up six than up 10. Now, maybe they would have. The way the game unfolded, I'm going to say the way the game was played today, the very same thing would have happened.
The outcome would have been the same.
I think the same thing would have happened. However, I just think you want to extend the game as far as you can.
You would have kept yourself in it for longer.
I would have kicked the field goal. I tweeted it live.
I agree with you.
And I think you get within two scores. I agree with Kevin.
But also, another thing to keep in mind is if they score like they did and they kick the extra point instead of going for two with 3 minutes left or whatever, You get 3 minutes and change left. You get three timeouts and the 2 minute warning. You get like four timeouts left. And then
this is another good point.
You never know.
But I'm just right? saying.
You could have kicked deep.
You never know.
You didn't have to onside kick. You give him the ball at the 50, which is much easier to throw that little pass to Jacob Tammy.
That's a valid point, though. I mean,
and again, I really don't know that it would have changed the outcome, but it would have extended the game.
I don't think it would have changed the outcome either.
Denver had like four questionable plays on offense all day. Like, I think they killed you.
They executed.
I do too, Andy. But why not make them execute and get a little bit
certainly
a little tight.
Certainly, you know, give Manning a chance to choke.
Some people thought that was the way the Patriots are going
to
win.
Give Manning a chance to choke. I thought really gave.
I thought Denver would choke today, and I was wrong.
But it also just would have given. It would have given them more options. You know, you wouldn't have had a gun held to your head. Oh, I have to go for two. Oh, I have to onside kick.
So are you starting firebelichick.com?
No, I question that.
He just purchased the domain. Yes.
They came out too.
They have that. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Andy and Paul stopping by here in the studio. Remember Antoine in New Jersey from before the game?
Tuan! Yes.
Tuan was,
can I get high?
Yeah. Well, here he is again. He's up next. Hey, Antoine.
How you doing, Mark?
What's happening?
Yo, dude, you sound so high.
No, I'm good.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you're good, all right.
No, I was just like
exhaling?
I told you before the game, I thought we needed to pass to set up the run. I don't know why we came out just rushing off the rip. You know, that really puzzled me. And then
not sure that's what they did.
The sideline shot of LeGarrette Blount, you know, looking so abundant and so, you know, out of place. I'm like, you know, we had a system that could have worked and it could have suited him with, though we could have eventually guided him into the running game. And it hurted me to see him out there just on the sideline, bro, distraught.
Yeah, I don't think they emphasized the running game. They had one carry on each of the first two series, right?
Those they came out throwing. And Tom talked about it and said that the key was that they didn't complete them.
And we had third and three, third and five, or vice versa. I mean, they weren't in necessarily unmanageable third down situations. They just couldn't execute on those third down throws, and then it kind of got out of control for them.
Joel's in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Popular caller, Joel.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
You know, very disappointed. I mean, I agree with Paul. You know, honestly, with everything what happened this season, you know, the Patriots honestly didn't supposed to be this far in the playoffs. To me, it just felt nothing special was going to happen. I mean, it's just like after the Patriots' first drive in the first quarter, it seems like there was just no air. It's like the air was just sucked out of their lungs. And there was nothing special that was going to happen. I mean, just looking on the sideline, Brady with his head down, normally you would see, players being pumped up, but, it was just something different, during the game today. And, it's going to be a long off season. You know, I'm not looking forward. You know, I was looking forward for the, Patriots to go to the Super Bowl and win and I'll be coming back home for the parade, but unfortunately, guess I'll be here in Atlanta for my birthday. So, but you guys have been great, Mark. You've been great this past season. During the end of the games. But yeah, it's really disappointing.
All right, Joel. Well, enjoy your birthday down in Atlanta. Now that you're not coming back to Boston,
I'd go to a strip club if I were you.
Yeah, Atlanta has those.
Yep,
definitely have those. We had a call earlier. You guys had not stepped into the room yet from Gary, and Gary has been very critical.
Gary in Indiana?
Ohio? No. Gary in New York.
I don't know that Gary.
Had to pull. Oh, you know what?
You lost it.
I think I may have just deleted it by accident. No, I hope I didn't do that.
I'm just reading some tweets here with the. Well, I figured I'd give you
well,
some time.
I find this.
I figured I'd give you some time
to
find that.
I'm going to find this email, though.
Peyton Manning. After the game, you could rename the AFC Championship after the Patriots. They've been here so many times, so to beat them was pretty significant.
Jeez, get off your knees. You're blowing the Patriots all week here.
Mike Giardi, our buddy at Comcast Sportsnet, talked to Logan Mankins a little bit, said he asked him if that fourth down sack will stick with him, and he says he'll be reliving it the entire plane ride home. So our boy Logan will take it bad. I'm going to read this quote to you. I'm going to ask you what your opinion of it is.
Is this the Bethel Johnson quote?
No. Michael Giardi, again. Ninkovich said that even if the Broncos didn't block them, Manning got rid of the ball so quickly it might not have mattered.
I think it might have, but
I think it may have mattered. Just a little
bit. No misconstruing that comment as maybe a shot?
Shot at who?
The secondary?
Secondary?
Look at Paul trying to dig up some dirt.
I'm asking.
No, I don't think so.
I don't take it.
I think he's trying to compliment
Manning. I think he's praising Manning for kicking their ass. As Bill said, his astute play calling and execution. Getting rid of the football, going in the right direction just about every play. Manning was on. You know, all those you that think that Manning is a choker, Paul Perillo, that thought he would get, holy cans.
Not this year.
Thought he would give it away, anything like that.
Not yet. At least not yet. He still has to play one more game.
First game he didn't punt. The second game he became like the third player or something with 400 yards and 68 completion percentage. He's on a roll right now.
It's happened four times, you said?
He's got three of them.
And he's got three of them. 400 yards, better than 60, whatever.
68, I think.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if this has been a common theme or not, but I just came to the realization that Eli won it in his building, the house that he built. Now he can win it in the house that Eli helped build.
True. Here it is. Gary from New York writes in, I just spoke with you guys. The Patriots are wasting Brady's remaining years. He's 36, and instead of addressing their needs in the secondary, wide receiver, and pass rush, the Patriots are only addressing these positions through the draft. We don't have years to wait for these players to develop. They passed on Vincent Jackson, passed on Cliff Averill as a pass rusher, and passed on signing any help in the secondary. How can we be expected to win with Cauley Amendola and Edelman as wide receivers? Last year, it was an over-the-hill and undersized branch. The Cowboys are still waiting to win 20 years after Aikman. The Niners waited 20 years after Young. The Steelers waited more than 20 years after Bradshaw. Belichick is wasting Brady's remaining years.
I just get so tired of saying this, but would the offense be good enough with Hernandez, Gronkowski, Edelman, Amendola? I mean, yes. That sounds like a decent offense.
Yes.
I think that would have been good enough. It sucks the way the offseason turned out. It sucks that Aaron Hernandez killed somebody, allegedly. It sucks that Rob Gronkowski had injuries to start and finish the season. It sucks. And despite all that, they were in an AFC title game. They gave you something to cheer for almost as long as any team in football. Like,
I'm having a hard time getting any sort of venom up on the Patriots. I just feel like their performance this season was just otherworldly. I think they found
ways.
Now,
is this where people are going to be like, thundine.com.
That's fine. I have no problem with it. I really don't.
The homers.
Because I do think, and I know that some people will make fun of me for it, for like diminishing that. I think this team overachieved by a wide margin.
Look at what I thought. I thought they would win 11 games with Gronkowski, Wilfork, Mayo, whoever. I picked them to win 11 games, maybe even 10. I was a little on the fence that it might be a 10-win season.
And I'm not even necessarily...
They won 12. They went to an AFC title game, and they lost half those guys.
But I'm not even necessarily saying by the way they won. Because I thought they would win a lot of games. I thought they would win 12 games. And I'm not necessarily surprised they were able to.
You thought they were one and done.
But yeah, oh yeah, no, I thought they
went to an AFC title game.
I thought they were going to lose last week, and I was wrong. Not in the game against the Colts. I'm talking about before the season. I thought they'd be one and done in the playoffs. So yeah, I was wrong all the way about this team. What I'm saying about the overachievement is how they continued to find so many different ways to win the tight games. And I thought there were games that going into them like Cleveland that I didn't think would be a competitive game, but it was. And they find a way to climb out of a 12-point hole to win the game. And I just think,
thanks to that extra teammate they call Stripes,
that's overachievement, you know?
Well, let me ask you this then. Is it fool's gold going into next season?
No, because next season you're going to have Wilfork. You're going to have Kelly.
But what I'm saying
is, you're going to have Gronkowski.
Does this team performing maybe so well mask what may be deficiencies on the team? Because you just told me the team overachieved.
Yes.
So if they overachieved, does it mask what might be their deficiencies and things
that
Brady
need
to be addressed
in
the offseason? I agree with that.
Go ahead, Andy.
But again, I get back to the two biggest factors on the offense were a combined factor for like five games, six games, whatever, because you lost Hernandez all year and you lost Gronkowski for the bulk of the year. Next year, you will constitute your offense will be different. You know, I didn't even realize this, but this is a side topic for a totally different day. But if Hernandez is charged with this second set of murders, you know, they could get a lot of salary cap money back because he will have violated his contract before he signed it.
You could potentially get the entire $12.5 million back.
And good luck collecting it. But if you get it on paper, well, you all of a sudden could have an extra $20 million on the salary cap moving forward. So now you can actually replace Hernandez. The dead money might go away, no pun intended. And this team is going to look different next year. Now, good or bad, you may not have Aqib Talib. You know, they have questions. Julian Edelman, who was apparently quite emotional in the post-game locker room talking about the season, he may be gone. Maybe they can't afford to re-sign him and give that same amount of money to two guys, Amendola, Edelman. Maybe Talib decides, I got to cash in, and somebody throws a little money at him. Maybe Blunt's gone. But I doubt the offseason next year will go as poorly as it did this year by things that were essentially outside of their control. Infection and murder were outside of their control, and that blew up their offseason on some level. You got to turn the mic on
still,
in this radio business.
How many weeks into this are we? 22
weeks? Might as well just finish it the way you started
22 games in and still can't get the damn button to work the way I want to work it.
You can get it to work. You just insist on shutting it off.
To make it work, you actually have to hit it. That's the way a button works.
It's on now.
If no one pushes it, the button just
sits
there.
I'm going to try that from now on.
Not the button's fault. Not the button's fault at all. It's Mr. Finger.
You know, like I started the show and I didn't have my mic on. I'm just going to do that. But the button won't work. I just can't get the button to work.
Well, buttons are funny that way. They only work when you push them.
Today it was sticking.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
No one knows that better than you, pushing buttons.
But it's perfectly reasonable to think that all three of the guys you mentioned could be gone, right?
Yep.
Edelman, Blunt, Talib. And how much differently would you feel about this team? I think Talib, for me, is a big loss.
Who do they replace?
Well, yeah, I got it. Yeah,
let's look offensively. If Edelman and Blunt are gone, how do you feel?
Who do they replace?
Gronkowski's 100%.
What's that?
Gronkowski's 100%?
Yes.
I'm fine.
So that's why I ask, you know, is a little bit of this
defensively.
Was Julian Edelman?
I'm not fine with Talib gone.
I'm not either. But here's a question. Did the price not go down on him again today with this injury?
He has serious health concerns.
And here's my other question. This is now a pattern. 2 years in a row, AFC Championship game, his fault or not, the guy is injured.
Well, he's become the Gronkowski of the defense.
Right.
The most important player who you don't finish the year with.
So don't you start thinking, well, what is the point if this guy's getting hurt at the key times?
Right. It's a good point. But I'm not comfortable letting him walk.
I'm not either.
Now, I would like to have...
I think the price coming down means he'll be back.
I would like to have Edelman back. I'm a little bit more indifferent on Blunt because I feel like you can have a running back in either way. I think you can have one or the other. We're watching a very close play here with the Niners diving over the top. I think he might have landed right on the plane of the goal line, Andy.
I don't think so. I think they're gonna run his belly.
They're going to look at... Oh, really? They're going
to
look at it anyway, but as of now, it's a touchdown for the Niners to put them up 10-0 early in the second quarter. I'm okay with it. I'd like to have Edelman back, and I'd like to have Blunt back, but I'm okay if either one of them walk or both walk because I feel like, especially Blunt, I mean, you still have Ridley, you still have Vereen. You'll fill in with another, you know, probably still have Bolden. You'll fill in with another guy. You'll put another running back out there. I think Blunt was very good. See, I'm reading my Twitter account. My Twitter's blowing up, Andy.
Okay, good. Good.
And somebody rightly points out, listen, you know, he was immense against two really bad run defenses. We talked all week that they would not be able to run the ball today the way they were running the ball the last few weeks. And I'm not sure a lot of people took that seriously. I think people look at Denver and they know it's a bad defense and they figured, well, we'll be able to run on Denver too. Denver's a top 10 run defense and today they shut you down. And they didn't need extra guys in the box to do it, by the way. They did it with those two mammoth tackles. Terrence Knighton played out of his mind today.
And Paul Anini, I want to ask you the same question that I asked Mark earlier. Looking at last week's game, Denver and San Diego. San Diego comes out, gets blanked the first half, sticks with the run, falls down 17-0, then starts the pass. And combined with the switch in game plan as well as the Harris injury, Keenan Allen goes nuts. They at least make a game.
It was a very similar game as today. I knew the Patriots wouldn't continue to run the ball, and they didn't. They started throwing. They just couldn't throw it well.
But my question to you is, and I felt all week that I wanted them to come out and kind of do the opposite of what a lot of people wanted in terms of people were screaming all week, pound Blunt, you know, control the ball key. I wanted them to come out, attack the secondary, spread the field and throw the ball and score so that they didn't fall behind, right?
They didn't get the score part down, but that was their plan. They came out and threw the ball in four of the first six plays. Unfortunately, they went 3 and out twice.
Fair point.
And they were spread.
Fair point.
They had an incomplete pass. I thought the pass to Edelman was huge.
Yeah.
I thought they had some opportunities to make some plays. Give Dominique Rogers-Cromartie some credit. He came up with a big pass defense on the first third down, I think.
On Colley,
he dove around him and knocked the pass loose.
Yeah.
You know, I give them a lot of credit.
Later. Yeah. That was it.
I think Andy's right. I think this is going to be short on this replay here for the Niners, but I think they'd go for it anyway. It's going to be really close. It's hard to tell exactly where he lands with the ball.
Well, he dove with one arm out in front, but the ball was in the other arm. If the ball's in the front arm, or he puts the back arm to the front arm, it's a touchdown.
It's also kind of sketchy when you're diving in the goal line like that to, you know, have the ball.
Well, you
got to
go all in. Are you trying to get it over? You going all in and you're trying to reach out and score, or are you not trying to?
I'm going for it anyway, even if they show it. What do you think?
Oh, hell yeah.
Brian.
This game? Hell yeah.
Brian writes in about Brady. He says, hey, guys, I think we need to stop tiptoeing around the issue here. Brady's had accuracy issues all year. And while I find it highly concerning, I'm not willing to say anything until I see how things look next year. It could be because of the receiver turnover, or he simply hasn't been comfortable with this group yet. But if next year he comes out and he's still missing horribly, then what? I know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but the Patriots could have made it this far, could have made this a far more competitive game, even if still ugly, had he hit a few more of his deep targets. And that really is a concern to me. As said in a previous email, regardless of this outcome, I'm still proud of this team. They overachieved, plain and simple. And if they can remain healthy, I'm thinking that this could be one of the better Patriots teams. It may not be as prolific an offense as 2007, but the defense and running game will be better, which I think is more important than being otherworldly in terms of offense. Got to stop them for your points to matter. Hopefully Brady comes around during the offseason. Everyone gets healthy and can remain healthy for next season. And one last thing. It was a pleasure listening to you all this season. Hope that, Mark, they bring you back next year.
I'm
also a free agent, along with Julian Edelman and Aqib Talib. You know, it's a big, important question going into the offseason, Andy.
And much like some of them, your value has gone down as the season's worn on.
Oh, definitely. Bargain basement right now. And you too, Kevin. Thanks for all you do. Great show as always.
Yeah, Brian, we're not letting Vito go anywhere. He'll be back.
Well, right? You might have to slap the franchise tag on me. That's all I got to say.
You got other options?
They did overturn that call on third down, but the Niners went for it on fourth down and got in.
And ran the same
play. You know, I'm going to test the market, Paul. So something that's been going on, Andy, you mentioned it.
Feel free.
Bethel Johnson on Twitter?
Yeah.
What is that all about? Here's what he said, in case you didn't know. Bethel Johnson said, he tweets, I said when the Pats traded me that they'll never win another championship. Say what you want about me. I was there 3 years and left with two rings. If they sign me back, we'll win immediately. What a moron.
Okay, so I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Say what I want about him. Okay, you were an underachieving dog who didn't try, didn't have any kind of work ethic at all, and constantly the veterans were on you to get in your playbook and stop fooling around. I miss anything, Andy?
Oh, that's true.
Dynamic, dynamic speed and a difference maker. And I will say this. The Patriots do not win the 2003 Super Bowl without Bethel Johnson.
That's true, too.
The single reason why the AFC Championship game was in Foxborough and not Indianapolis was Bethel Johnson and his kick returns against the Colts in that game. The 38-34 goal line stand game where William McGinnis faked the injury.
Faked the injury and then made the stop.
Kick returns by Johnson allowed that game to be won, and that... therefore, that was the difference between that game being in Indy and in Foxborough.
He won two rings in 3 years.
He did, hey. As they say, as a wise talk show host once said, fact, not opinion.
Andrew's in Buffalo. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Oh, you sound very down, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm really down. But I'm glad y'all had me on for a while because I don't have access to the internet at this point right now. But
are you living in a cave?
And how are you listening to us?
Oh, well, because y'all got me on hold so I can hear.
Oh, so we called.
Oh, you're actually listening on. Oh, good. We can put you back on hold if you want, if you just want to listen to the rest of the show.
I think we do have an open line,
yeah,
so we could do that.
If y'all could do that, that is, yeah.
You got that, Mark? Don't hang up on him.
Right.
Let him hold.
All right.
Okay. I felt like Denver did a really good job with the pick plays, you know, where we would have a receiver dragging, like a little short route.
Yeah,
you look at that on them on defense. They did a really good job with that. So Brady had to hold the ball, which was allowing that defensive line to get to him. And second, you see Logan Mankins get beat by the defensive lineman. It looked like instead of him going into pass blocking, he sort of like lunges forward like a run block, and the guy uses his quickness to beat him. That was a mistake by the guard. I'm not sure what he was thinking. And then the safeties, I've been knocking them all year. I think their pursuit to the ball is absolutely horrible. And they're going to have to address both those safety positions because I believe Gregory have a hard time tackling, and McCourty, he just, I think his, he's a bust. I don't think he's, he has that playmaking ability. It's just ridiculous. So I want to know what
you, I'm kind of halfway in between on McCourty. I think he's had an okay year. I don't think he was a second team all pro like he was. I think he can still play. I'm not sure on Gregory. I think Gregory's got a little, maybe my old view on Ninkovich. He's probably a backup on a really good defense, you know, probably a role player on a really good team.
Good third safety.
Yeah, but right now he's your first safety, and he's your first strong safety, essentially, and that's not good enough. And I think, you know, they tried to go the Adrian Wilson route. They've tried to go the Tavon Wilson route. You know, maybe Daron Harmon is destined to fill that role.
What do you make
a little
of his sort of disappearance?
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. It's like when the more Bill has talked about him of late, the less he has played. When he said they're interchangeable, you know, I don't really see any difference in those three.
That might be a week from Tuesday issue. So I apologize for that. I don't think Daron Harmon needs to be.
Well, we got a lot of topic. We got a lot of things to talk about. I, quite frankly, off-season topic, I want to discuss what we were discussing as the game was coming down to the wire, and we were talking about, you know, being down 16. Is that two scores? Is that four scores? And that whole philosophical debate of how easy slash hard it is to get a two-point conversion.
By the way, I hated that play call.
I could spend an hour on that.
Oh, we will in the offseason on Patriots.com radio.
Yeah, two-point conversions.
We may squeeze two out of that.
You look into some of the history of it, the stats, you know, start breaking that down. How are they in these short yard
assuming
situations?
Assuming you're going to get two of them.
But then, I
wouldn't assume that you're going to get them.
But then, Andy, you also look at...
4 and 7 years
But it's
ago,
not a four-score game.
Our fathers brought forth on this continent needing 16 points.
A lot of things to talk about is two-point conversions.
You can always tell when he's proud of himself when he sticks his jar out at the end of one of those rants.
A little Bill
hanging
Cower
over the microphone.
The only thing missing is the spit.
Raymond writes in, just wanted to thank Paul, Andy, Fred, and Mark for another great year.
Just want to say hi to Andrew again, who's on hold. No problem, buddy.
I will.
Yeah, we'll hung up with him.
Oh, I did.
You hung up on him?
Yeah, he called back. And then he called back, and I hooked him up on the
gotcha. Sorry about
line.
He's back.
He's
back.
Chilling on the guest
hold
line.
Hold on. Andrew, just confirm that you're back. It's Andrew, right?
Yes, thank you.
Right. Okay, enjoy listening.
No
bye.
Problem. Right back on hold.
Don't drop him again.
Just gonna drop him again, just to be mean.
There you go. You're on hold.
I agreed with Andrew's point, by the way, about the rub routes. I thought that the Broncos did a good job of jamming things up a little bit around the line of scrimmage, which probably made them susceptible to some
routes.
Of those long.
Love
routes.
A good rub route.
He's looking for a girl to rub a route with him.
Wow. Dude's married.
Let me finish this email quick.
Okay,
hold
sorry.
On. He writes, I will continue to listen to you guys during the off season. You are all just like Patriots Nation, my family.
I just want to
keep up the great work and don't change. The Patriots will be back stronger than ever.
Is this like high school?
Year.
Don't
please
ever change.
Do keep listening because we have this issue with some of these fans who
I think
they
it's
get
over.
So emotional that they say, you know, I had to take a month off. I had to take 2 months off.
You wouldn't believe
listen.
How many times people call in PFW
keep
in progress.
Listening. We
haven't
will
listened
work
since
this.
The game.
I promise Fred Kirsch, the ultimate homer, the most emotional Patriots fan on the planet, who I'm hoping is still alive after tonight's game. When he's back in this studio, he will work through it with you. Keep listening. We're here every, Tuesday and Thursday now because it is technically the off season. Right, Paul? Noon to two, Tuesdays and Thursdays, PFW in progress. Stick with us.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You guys want to get out of here? We got to get to Belichick and Brady. We haven't played them yet.
Oh, so we're done?
All right.
Unless you want to hang around.
Nope.
Get free.
We got a paper to do.
We could start writing.
All right.
I can watch this game upstairs and I don't have to
play
by play.
Outmanned?
Outmanned, we're thinking.
Oh, that's decent.
And Manning's part, you know, yeah. All that.
You know, we put
injury
depleted pass, ball short to Manning.
Yep. I like it. Run with it. You heard it here first, peeps. Sneak preview for Andrew on hold. Bye, guys.
Outmanned. I like that. All right. I'll see you guys later. Andy and Paul are checking out here on the Xbox One post game show. I think they really came down here because this is where all the soda is. I think that's why they came down to the studio. Yeah. A little bit of the reason why they're here. But we were happy to have them here on the post-game show, and we'll be happy to listen to what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had to say right after this. Don't go anywhere.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football.
especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show with Mark Bertrand. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Bill Belichick had a lot of good things to say after the game. Although his team lost, although his team is now moving on to the Super Bowl, he had some very complimentary things to say about the Denver Broncos, and maybe you might feel a little bit better about this season and about where the team's headed after listening to Bill Belichick. Here's what the head coach of the Patriots had to say after the loss.
For the season to end like that. But, you know, you got to give Denver a lot of credit today. Coach Fox, his staff, and obviously the players, they did a good job, did a better job than we did. I thought we played hard. You know, I thought we were ready to go. We just didn't make enough plays, just didn't do things quite well enough. And Denver did them better than we did today. And that's why they deserve to win and they move on. So, you know, congratulations to them. I'm proud of our football team, proud of everything we did this year. Got a lot of guys in that locker room that really played hard, played well, gave everything they had all season long. And, you know, I'm proud to be their coach. So I just wish it could end a little bit better for us today. But, again, give Denver credit. They did a good job.
So what were your impressions of the play on which
you went out? Yeah, that was as it turned out, it was a key play in the game. So, you know, take a look at it on a replay. But that was a key play in the game. I told you I have to take a look at it on film, but it was a key play in the game.
Kind of losing a key change, what you had to do on defense.
It's a key play in the game. Obviously, he's a key player for us.
How close was he to coming back into the game? Did he fight to want?
I don't know. Yeah, of course. It's no more competitive guy in that locker room than a keep to leap.
The missed 4th and 3 at the north end of the field there. Did that cut the time situation?
At what now?
4th and 3.
Yeah. Right.
Was that the key? Was that a key play?
There were a lot of key plays. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Bill, were you surprised why you didn't run the ball as well this week?
You know, the idea is to score points, and we just didn't score enough points. So, you know, obviously they did some things to try to take that away that wasn't unexpected. We just weren't able to score enough points. And we gave up too many, so that's as simple as that.
Was your offense too one-dimensional today?
Well, we need to score more points.
Absolutely, running game.
I didn't say that. We need to score more points.
You talked about third down only being a vital part of any game. Was it kind of demoralizing might not be the right word, but the way Denver was able to.
Yeah, we didn't do a good enough job. You know, we're able to, you know, hold them to some field goals defensively, but you know, our third down defense, our third down offense, especially in the first half, weren't, you know, let them get too far ahead. And those were, you know, they were able to stay on the field, had the ball, had field position. And, you know, even a couple times we held them to field goals, we still, you know, didn't have possession of the ball, didn't have a chance to do much. We're just, you know, trying to keep them out of the end zone. And, I mean, that's okay, but you know, it'd be a lot better if we could stop them on third down and get the ball back. We just weren't able to do that. And then, conversely, we weren't able to do it offensively. So.
Well, how did you guys convert the two-point conversion there? Would you have...
That would have changed the game quite a bit. You know, we obviously didn't do a good job on that play either. So, you know, we had some opportunities that have we done them a little bit better with them. We'll put ourselves in a better position, but that would have certainly changed the strategy if it had been an 8-point game instead of a 10-point game. I said it would have changed the strategy.
How tough was it just getting to Peyton Manning today and getting a pass rush?
They did a good job. You know, they did a good job mixing the plays, and you know, as always, he did an excellent job of reading the defenses, and you know, he got us in some situations that were less than ideal. With his astute play calling and recognition, you know, we disguised, and you know, I think we got him, you know, a few times, but he certainly got us a few times too. And you know, they got a lot of good players, tough team to match up against with all the good skill players they have, backs, tight ends, receivers. So you know, they have good, obviously a good football team, good offensive system, good quarterback.
Can you allow yourself to reflect on the season at all? You guys went.
Yeah, not right now.
Did you have many words for John Fox after the game? Just
Yeah, I talked to John after the game. Sure did. John's a good friend, and I have a lot of respect for John. You know, he's been a great coach back from the days when he was a coordinator with the Giants and Carolina. Out here, you know, he does a good job. He's, you know, I respect him. I have a lot of respect for John and their entire football team. Absolutely. Wish him well.
Were you surprised Brady wasn't as accurate as he normally is within the 3 minutes to be back over the course of the season, time and time again?
Well, the bottom line was they just did a better job than we did. That's really the bottom line. I don't think it's about any one player or any one play. There were a lot of opportunities in the game that had we been able to coach better, play better, execute better in any of those areas, it would have given us a better chance. But, you know, we're up against another good football team, and they were better than we were today. So give them credit for what they did. They did a good job.
How do you feel about the hit on Talib?
I've already answered that question. No problem.
Any other questions, guys?
No? Okay. I'm good.
Can you tell us about what you said with the team after the game and you brought everybody together in the locker room?
I'll keep that between me and the team, but what I said here is the way I feel. You know, I wouldn't take back anything that I've said. I'm proud of the team, proud to be their coach. Thought they played hard all year. We played competitively every single week. Some weeks we played better than others, but there was never a lack of effort or toughness or everybody trying to do their best. And I totally respect the team for that and what they did. I'm proud to be their coach. So that's how I feel about it.
It's almost like this is your best coaching year ever. Were you surprised you ever made it this far with all the guys that got hurt during the course of the season?
I don't really think about that. I just think about this game, trying to come out in here and win this game and win the AFC Championship. That's really the only thing that's in my mind. All the rest of it's a bunch of hot air.
Bill, how much did you think about this game before you put it behind you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, unfortunately, we've been here before, so... you know, we've won AFC Championship games and we've lost them. So, you know, we'll move on. We have to. And we're behind a lot of the other teams in the league, all except one in AFC, actually, in terms of the offseason. So we have a little bit of catching up to do. But, starting tomorrow, we're on to 2014.
Coached a tougher team, mentally tough than this one.
Oh, that they were very much that, physically and mentally tough. And I don't know about ranking them and all that because we have, you know, different makeups of the team and the players and so forth. So, but this team worked hard from first day OTAs, well, from the all-season program through the OTAs, mini camp, training camp, regular season, playoffs. You know, they worked hard daily. All day long, and I think they improved quite a bit during the year. So I think that's how you do improve. You take the instruction that you're given, you work hard on it, and you have positive results. You build on those, correct your mistakes, build on your positive results, keep going. And I think as a team, they've done that, and individually, that's been kind of the trademark of the players on this team: of taking corrections, working hard, moving on, trying to get better. Not getting caught up in what happened in the past, but just trying to do a better job the next time out. And I think that improvement served us well all year. I wish we could have done a little bit better job today, especially me.
Feel specifically you could have done better today?
Well, anytime you lose a game like this, you know, there's definitely things that you don't feel great about. And there's a lot of things I don't feel great about, so that shouldn't come as any big surprise. But It's in the books. You can't do anything about it except, you know, they look back on it, learn from it, and move on. But, yeah, certainly play some calls, some plays we'd like to have back. I'm sure everybody who competed in the game would like to have something back. It's tough when your season ends, you know, just suddenly, but that's the way it is. Like, we know that's the situation in the playoffs, you know. One team moves on, one team doesn't. So, yeah, it's a sudden, come to a sudden stop. But again, I'll say this, whatever mistakes were made in that game by me and everybody else, I think were all made with the intention of doing what was best. Not everything worked out best, but it was done with the intention of doing what was best and trying their best to make it work. Didn't always work, but the effort and the intent to do the right thing, you know, I definitely feel like that was there. And it's been there all year.
Final question?
It seems like you've taken a lot of heat yourself. I mean, do you feel like you yourself made a lot of mistakes going into this game?
I don't think anybody in that locker room feels good right now, and we probably shouldn't. I feel the same way. So, lose a game like that, you certainly think there's things you could have done better. I can't imagine not feeling that way. Okay.
All right, and that's how it ends for Bill Belichick today. Obviously taking a lot of personal responsibility, saying he wishes they could have played a better game, could have had a better game, especially him. Complimentary of Aqib Talib quite a bit. Some things stood out from that press conference, but I think you can hear it in Bill Belichick's voice. I think he was definitely proud of the way this team competed this year. And I don't think this team should feel any real shame over losing today. I feel they got beat by a better team. The Broncos proved to be a better team. They proved to have more weapons. They proved to be a really bad matchup. And the Patriots lost as a team today. They've won as a team so many times this season, they certainly lost as a team today as well. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up. I do want to read some emails here. Jared writes in, big loss and big disappointment today, no doubt. Denver was the best team today. I always expect the Pats to be the best. I'm kind of bummed out. Overall, a good year. Considering the injuries and other stuff that has happened, on a good note, it was nice to see the emergence of Julian Edelman. Thanks for the great show and great support for the Patriots. That's Jarrett up in Canada today. Abraham writes in, I'm actually feeling all right about the loss because we overcame so many injuries this year and we really shouldn't have gotten to where we were. I think the Talib injury was just one too many injuries. And that's where all the injuries finally caught up to us. I will say, though, that last year against Baltimore, we were doing well until Talib went out, and then we got crushed. Same today, we were doing decent until he went out and then got crushed. I really think that had an effect on both games, not to mention Gronkowski. Talib's loss today definitely had an impact. The team was not as successful on defense as they were last season before his injury in the AFC Championship game, but it made a difference. All of a sudden, it's Alphonso Dennard on Demaryius Thomas as opposed to Aqib Talib, and that's a big difference. Danny in Spain writes in, hey guys, I'm not even mad with today's game. Denver is a great team. We got to the AFC title game in a very tough season. I think it's necessary to be critical of some aspects and change some things in the offseason. We have some rookies that will improve next year, some injured players who will hopefully be healthy next year, and we need to give the staff the availability and possibility to build a good roster. Have to be positive. Great show as always. Hope to hear from you in PFW, Mark. That's Danny in Spain. Chad writes in, this game reminds me of the first Rocky. Apollo Creed was supposed to win, and he did. Manning was supposed to win, and he did. Just like Rocky, the Patriots have to train and build up for the next fight. Continuing with the emails, Ken writes in, hey Mark, definitely a disappointing end to the season for us. Not the game we were hoping to see, and not the game the Pats were hoping to play. There will be plenty of should've, would've, could've in the coming days, but I don't wish to dwell on that for the moment. Partially because it's Monday here and I have work today and I can't cry myself to bed. I want to use this opportunity to thank the Patriots for such a memorable season, bringing us to many thrilling highs and some heartbreaking lows. They have shown us what a mentally tough, resilient team can do with what little they have. They've never failed to give us that sliver of hope, even in the darkest minutes, and it always felt like we are a good ball bounce away from an improbable victory. Much will be said about today's blowout, but what we have achieved to reach at this stage is nothing short of a remarkable achievement, and I hope we all take heart in that. Having gone through such adversity this season, I'm excited to see what this team can achieve when we are whole again. We will be back next season. That's the Patriot way. Cheers from Ken in Singapore. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. That's where Tom reaches us. Tom is in Alaska tonight. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I've been on hold for a little bit, so I was going to respond to a couple of negative things that I heard. First off, I really like the show. I like the PFW crew. You guys all do a good job getting us information and commentary and keeping us informed. It's great. Second thing, Bill Belichick, I can't say enough good things about the guy. I don't want any other coach where you tell me I'm going to be losing pieces I don't know about in a season, and he's going to get us this far. I don't know anyone else that can do that. He's fantastic. Does a great job. Our guys stepped up, did great. 12-4, nobody was predicting that. I can't be too mad about the game. I was excited to see it. I felt like we had our gas pedal all the way down and just wasn't getting the fuel. I thought we could have done a little better job, but I'm happy with the season overall.
Yeah, I think... Continue.
The negative commentary I was thinking about was I was hearing a lot about Tom Brady, you know, accuracy and stuff like that, and though I agree, I wanted to have an opinion. It looks to me a lot. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of time with these receivers. And in past years when he's done really great, it felt like he was throwing to open instead of open first and then throw. And without those receiver timings, it feels like he's having to see before he can trust and throw that ball. And I feel like it's been a big disruption in our timing that we are used to.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, Tom, and thank you for the call and thank you for listening this season. I think the Patriots in recent weeks have really been successful with running to set up the throw, running to set up the passing game, and today it kind of went back to what we've seen in the past, which is being able to throw the football in order to run. The Patriots did not run the ball well in this game, and that may have affected them because I think play action was a big part of their game plan, and they still tried to implement it throughout the course of the game. So that was definitely a place where they failed today. So I understand what you're saying. Tom Brady was not accurate today, which we have discussed at length in this show. Kyle writes in, this was a downright pitiful performance by the Patriots. How can a team come out so lifeless and flat with the Super Bowl on the line? It's beyond disturbing to me. The team was decimated by injuries, but I put this one on coaches as much as anything. He also goes on to write that just competing or being in the playoffs is not good enough for this team. It's time to go all in and get at least one more Super Bowl. I understand that. I understand the thought there. But I think that there are so many things that happened to this team this year that I don't know that that line of thinking applies. Pat writes in, I'm happy with the season. I think this team made it as far as they possibly could. I was pretty stunned that they abandoned the run with Blunt. But it's over now, and I'm looking toward to the offseason. We have a lot of pieces in place, and it will be good to get some key players back on defense. I think it's time to really make some changes and additions in free agency. It looks like there's going to be a lot of defensive talent available. And like everyone, I think you got to get Tom some more weapons. As far as the guys they need to keep, Talib and Blunt, those guys should be priority, followed by Edelman, who will probably get paid better somewhere else, so I won't blame him for going elsewhere. And then how about, he's talking about some guys in the draft, which we'll save for the draft shows here on Patriots.com radio. But in terms of the priority, I think Talib for me is one. I would put Edelman above Blunt. Sorry, I like LeGarrette, and you know I'm a LeGarrette Blunt fan. But I think that the skill set and the being on the same page with Tom Brady for Julian Edelman is more important to this team's success than running the football with LeGarrette Blunt, because I think LeGarrette Blunt, very talented individual, but I think you can get his production, you can find that elsewhere, and that's not to take anything away from him, but you can get that in the backs you have now in terms of the numbers. I don't think Stephen Ridley is going anywhere. I think the plan with him will ultimately be to get him back in there in the primary role and, you know, continue to work with him on the fumble issue and protection of the football. But I'm sorry, I'm putting Edelman above Blunt on the priority list. A last email before we get to Tom Brady. Joseph writes in, while a lot of people will turn to blame Matt Patricia or personnel, I will not. There were a number of things that added up to a loss today. For the defense, no sacks, virtually no pressure all day, an inability to get off the field on third down, poor tackling, and for the most part, out of position for the safeties on numerous occasions. For the offense, an inability to convert on third down and sustain drives. Brady overthrew some passes that could have manufactured points and changed the outcome. Drops by a few key receivers at key times when we needed to move the chains. The offensive line couldn't create holes for our backs, and they whiffed on pass protection, leading to Brady getting sacked on fourth down. We literally got outplayed in every facet of the game. Losing sucks, and it may not get any easier, but I'm proud of our guys. I love this team for everything it did, and thank you guys for yet again another phenomenal season of shows. PFW, pregame, postgame, playbook, FFC, your hard work is appreciated. On to the offseason from Joseph in New Jersey. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the email and the very kind comments that you've put our way. Tom Brady didn't have a good game. Overthrew players. Here's what he had to say after the loss today.
Tough one to let slip away. How difficult were the Denver Broncos today?
Yeah, they're a good football team, and they played really well today. So we just couldn't make enough plays, and certainly early just didn't do enough on third down to stay on the field and score points and move the ball and, you know, got in the hole there, and it was just too tough to dig our way out.
Did you feel as if there was some plays that made early on that looked like they had been schemed up well and had them?
Yeah, we definitely had some chances on third down. I had a chance to Julian down the field that I wish I'd have made that. That certainly would have helped. So, you know, it's just a tough day for our team, and we fought hard. We just came up short to a pretty good team.
And what happened on that throw to Edelman and then the one with McCauley at the end of the second half?
I just overthrew him.
Does it get harder as you get older or not?
By the offensive
to lose?
Only great to get this far.
I think any time is pretty tough. I mean, it's always it's tough to get to this point. You know, well, 2 weeks from now, there's only one team that's going to win that game, and that's a tough one to win. So anytime you come up short of what you're trying to accomplish, it's not a great feeling. But, you know, I'm proud of our team and the way we fought. You know, we got a lot to be proud of, and we'll be back at it next year.
It's been extremely arduous year for you, just based upon the personnel, all that was on your table, all that you came through. Personally, is this a more emotional loss, like Jim was asking, than a lot?
They've all been tough at the end of the year. I mean, I've had some losses in the Super Bowl, which have been really tough. You know, last year's loss in the championship game was tough. This year's was pretty tough. So, you know, losing is not easy. But, you know, I give them a lot of credit because they played really well. They made a lot of plays offensively and defensively. And, you know, they got a good football team. So they're going to be tough to beat in a couple weeks.
Tom, what did they do to take away the running game from you guys? Obviously, once you get down, it takes it away a little bit. But it seemed like they were really intent on taking that away at the start of the game.
Yeah, we didn't do much of anything early in the game. So run it or pass it, we just couldn't get a lot of it was hard because we didn't complete the third downs. So then it was hard to really get into the run game. We had 2-3 and outs to start the game. So it's hard to be productive when you're not making third downs. So we just, third down conversions early weren't good. And, we just didn't make enough plays.
I felt pretty helpless there at the end, watching the Broncos run the timeout. Was that a helpless feeling there?
Well, they're pretty good. I mean, they got a good offense, and they've done that, you know, all season. So, you know, once they get the ball there, they got a lot of guys, you know, they can throw the ball to, and a lot of those guys made plays today. So, you know, I give them a lot of credit. They made a lot more plays than we did.
Tom, how did you watch Peyton at all when you're on the sideline with him, the way he kept the defense off balance?
They played great. I mean, they got a very good offense. They've probably the best offense in NFL history. So, and they certainly played very well today.
As he's making those drives, are you thinking, sensing that your margin of error is decreasing all the while, or are you not even worried about that during the game?
Well, when you play good teams, I think the margin of error is pretty slim all day. And, you know, we dug ourselves a pretty good hole there, and I don't know if it was 20-3 or 23-3, or just couldn't do enough. So, you know, they got a good team, and they made a lot of plays, and like I said, I give them a lot of credit.
Tom, you put this one on yourself a lot. When you look back at this one, do you think you'll put this one on yourself more than some of the others?
Anytime we lose, there's things I can do better. So certainly, you know, there's things I wish I could have done better today to help us win.
Tom, with all the guys going down, are you surprised that this team was able to make it this far, and how proud are you of this football team?
Yeah, I think this team is a very resilient, tough, hard-nosed team, and, you know, we just got beat today by, you know, a team that played really well and by a good football team that plays really well at home, and, you know, we got a good team. We just didn't play well enough today. Only one team gets to advance, so that's the NFL playoffs.
How much did losing to Lee hurt you?
I'm not sure.
If you saw a corner missing of that caliber, I expect you to go after that spot.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great player for us, so it's disappointing to, you know, not have him out there, but you know, that's what happens sometimes in football games, and you got to find ways to bounce back, and, you know, our guys fought hard. We just, you know, didn't make enough plays to win.
How good do you think Peyton Manning was today?
He played great. They played great. They played great as a team. You know, they got a lot of good players, and he certainly is, you know, one of the greatest players to ever play. So he had a very good day, and, you know, their defense played good. You know, we just didn't get enough, you know, pressure on that team to, you know, we're playing from behind all day.
How long did we have that crowd noise here? How much did that affect your rhythm on offense?
I thought we handled it pretty well. So I wouldn't say that played a big factor. I'd say more of our lack of execution. Certainly on third down, the early part of the game was a big factor in us not being able to sustain drives and, you know, really get a handle on our running game and certainly move the ball to score enough points.
Tom, you've talked in previous season, I think it was last year, about this feeling kind of being like you're on a treadmill, and you're running, and then it just shuts off.
Yep.
You know, with a finite, we can, you know, see the finite end of a career, and Coach Belichick, everyone sees that finite end. What is the motivation for you every year to come back and get to this level and get past this level?
Well, it's the same way it's always been, and it's certainly for the New England Patriots, it's to win, and it's to win every time you take the field. And, you know, we did a decent job to get ourselves to this position, and like I said, there's two good teams that were playing. Only one team gets to advance, and it's a team that played better today. And, you know, they played good. They got a lot of good players, and you know, I thought they made plays offensively and defensively that really helped them win. And certainly, you know, I wish I could have done more to help us. Maybe, you know, something could have been different.
Julian was just very emotional in the locker room. What did you learn about him, his desire to compete this year, and how much do you want him back next year?
He had a great year. I'm so proud of him and everything he's accomplished. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for him and what he's accomplished personally, but certainly his selflessness and helping the team. And you know, he just had a great season.
What happened in the fourth quarter where you guys were able to get the offense going? What changed for you guys? Was it something scheme-wise or something they did? It did look like a little more zone there, but what worked for you guys in the fourth when you got back into it?
We were executing a little bit better. Just found some spots and, you know, made the throws and catches. And we found a little space in there and made some plays. So I just wish we could have done it for four quarters.
Talk about the touchdown run, the run that you had, what you saw there. And,
yeah, they dropped off in the coverage, and I found a little space, and, you know, it doesn't happen too often where I run them in, so it just wasn't enough. Okay. I just wished him luck. So I have a lot of respect for him. He's a great player and competitor. He certainly is a great player, and, you know, he played great today. I thought, you know, our offensive line played really good. They, you know, they pass protected really well. You know, gave us some spots in a run game. So, you know, they fought really hard and played hard. We just couldn't do enough there, like I said, early in the game to get points on the board and make it competitive, and, you know, it got away from us a little bit, and we tried to fight back, but it was too big of a hole.
Did you see a change, though, for them defensively on third down?
They got a little bit of pressure, but you know, we I thought we handled it. We just the one play they got the sack, it was a good rush. He's a good player, so just couldn't quite get out of the way of him. So thank you guys, I appreciate it. Have a good off season.
It's Tom Brady talking after the loss here today for the Patriots. Got an email here. Last email I will read today. Keith Simmons writes, guys, proud of this team this year, especially with the adversity we had to overcome. I am, however, not surprised by the loss today, given that the only healthy playmaker at receiver was Julian Edelman. He writes that I feel strongly that next year with a healthy Gronk, Dobson, Tompkins, Edelman, and maybe a key veteran wide receiver acquisition, we will have an edge and be stronger next season. Also, Peyton will lose to the NFC in the Super Bowl, so I'm not as disappointed as the rest of Patriots Nation. Love that. Well, if you're looking at this game right now over in the NFC, it's a 10-3 at the half. One-score game, San Francisco 49ers with a lead on the Seahawks at halftime. If the San Francisco 49ers win this game, I like them in the Super Bowl, too. I like Peyton to lose in the Super Bowl. And no matter who it is, if Seattle somehow comes back to win this game, we'll all be rooting for Seattle. So all of a sudden, we are fans of the NFC. That just about does it for us here on the post-game show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Before I get out of here, I just want to extend my thanks to a number of people as this was my first year on both the pregame social and also here on the postgame show presented by Xbox One, the people who are a part of the show every single week, including our guy Eric Scalavino, even though he doesn't go to parties and doesn't have a joyous time in Denver. Thanks to Eric Scalavino, who every week checked in with us every single week, gave us a call from the press box, let us know what was going on. Of course, Poll Center himself, Darren Hartwell, who took care of business in the Poll Center every Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame, Dunkin' Donuts, as I just screwed. Kevin, did you just catch that? You weren't even listening. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And I've been screwing things up every year, every game this year because of other things that I am used to announcing. But thanks to Scalvino. Thanks to Darren Hartwell. Of course, a big thank you to Kevin Collins, our producer, who you hear from very often in the postgame show.
We had fun.
Kevin, excellent year. And you are the glue that keeps this thing together.
I try.
Kevin does a lot of work around here with this program and keeps it all together and lines up all of our guests who were all great all year long. The out-of-town, behind-enemy-lines guys works with our good friends with the Patriots media relations staff to get us guests in the postgame as we talked to so many players this year in the postgame show that joined us. My favorite is still LeGarrette Blount. I mean, that one's going to be my favorite all year long. But we talked to a bunch of great guys on the team who gave us their time after a game. So thanks goes out to them as well. Of course, a big thank you to both Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, who you heard from today. You heard from in the post game. It's been terrific to work with those guys for this entire season. And you'll still be hearing from those guys regularly, Tuesdays and Thursdays, noon to 2, PFW in progress, with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and the next guy, who's Fred Kirsch, who I absolutely have to thank for giving me the opportunity to be here with all of you this year. So a big thanks to all those people. I had a ton of fun this season. We had quite a few laughs, maybe too many at times. Maybe it got a little bit too goofy, but we definitely had a good time. And it wouldn't be the same without all of you listening on the other end and also interacting with us, sending in your emails, sending in your tweets with the hashtag PPGS, giving us a call on the phone lines. We talked to a ton of you this year. You make this what it is with your interaction. So a big thanks to you over everybody else. This has been a lot of fun. And unfortunately, it ends on a down note the way it happened today. I was really expecting when I came in here today for us to be talking about getting ready for a game in New York 2 weeks from today. I really thought that's what we were going to be doing. And unfortunately, it was not the case. But you know what? I think after hearing from many of you today, many of you with some very reasonable expectations heading into the offseason, does anyone really not expect the team to be back in this position next year, to be vying for Super Bowl 49 back in Arizona? I think we'll be back here doing it again next season. I think we'll be talking about a very good football team. We are all thankful to be rooting for and be associated with a team that is successful year in and year out. And unfortunately, they came up a little bit short today. So thanks to everybody I mentioned. Thanks to all of you. It ends on a down note. But there's still plenty to be happy about and be looking forward to in the off season. Thanks, everybody. I will talk to you again soon.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Happy trails to you till we meet again.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long.
Brady for the check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
From all of us at Patriots.com radio, we thank you for listening all season long to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Tune into Patriots.com radio all off season for PFW in progress every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. We look forward to hearing from you next season on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.